Okay, it's working, is it? Yeah, okay. Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 16 of Romans, the last chapter of Romans. Not by coincidence, the way it's set up, everything is built upon the preceding chapter, okay? And the foundation of this whole thing being Christ. Okay? It's amazing some of the depths that Paul has delved into in this book. I have tried to show you some of this thinking process by the Spirit. Okay? And I hope I've enlightened some of you in this journey through the book of Romans. But I will first read the chapter before I teach on it. Verse 1 of chapter 16. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you, for she has been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amphipolis, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urban, our helper in Christ, and Statius, my beloved. Salute Apollos, approved in Christ. Salute them that are of the Aristobulus household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that are of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncretus, Philegion, and Hermas, and Patrobas, and Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philegius, and Julia, and Nerus, and his sister, and Olympias, and all the saints which are with them. You talk about tongue twisters. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they which are such, which are such, serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works, good words, and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my fellow worker, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, my host, and of the whole church, salute you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, salute you, and Quartus, a brother. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. There is some good stuff in this chapter. You all know this, that these names all have other meanings. And I could wrap up in the meanings and try to put a little story together for you, and that's not really the point. I'll give you the names and the meanings of the names, and I'm going to let you play with that, but I don't think that's where God wants me to go with this morning. So I'm going to start back with verse 1. He said, I commend, literally the word is I introduce. He's introducing to the rest of the Gentile church, Phoebe. Okay? Now, I don't think the church knew her, or he wouldn't be trying to introduce her, would he? There's a lot of servants of God in the church that nobody knows. And they're the ones that's probably the greatest servants. Because it's not about notoriety, it's not about fame, it's not about wealth and possessions. It's about doing the will of their Father. Right? So he says, I'm going to introduce you Phoebe. Phoebe means radiant. Now, what does radiant speak to you? That means an outflowing of some light. Now, light cannot flow out of something if there has been no light placed in something. So her spirit has received this light from the Father, that grace to her, that divine influence in her heart, which is now reflecting out into her lifestyle that other people can see. And the first one who saw it was Paul. And he said, this is Phoebe. Her name meant radiant, but she was named before anybody ever knew what she was going to be. See? But Paul recognized this. This woman has a light in her that we need to see. So he goes on and he says, which is a servant of the church, which is in Cenchrea. Do you know what that Cenchrea is? What it means? It's a grain. It's the word millet. And it's a grain that's used for food for poor people. Okay? It, you know, poor people couldn't afford to buy the wheat and the barley. See? So they were fed on millet. See, there was three types of grain that they eat. Wheat, barley, and millet. Millet was the poor folk. Barley represents Pentecost, and wheat's the pure word, see? So there's three realms of that, just like there's three realms of our experience in God, right? But see, when I see this as poor, I don't just see it as poor people with no money. I see poor directly related to humility, humble, see? Blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the earth, right? I see this as something humble in a person. That she's a very humble servant, okay? And she's being fed with the meager things of the world and letting everyone else have what they need. And it goes on to say that about her in a minute, and I'll get to it. He said, I'm telling you, so I'm introducing to you her, and in verse 2 it's saying, in order that, the first word that is the Greek word hina, which means in order that, in order that you receive her, or literally accept her. I'm telling you, she's a servant, she's a radiant person, she's got the light of God in her, and I want you to accept. That's the reason I'm telling you, so that you will accept her. Do you know how many churches didn't accept women? They don't today yet. See? Just because she's wearing a female suit doesn't mean she's not a son of God, does it? Mm-hmm. That's the intent. That's the intent. And he says, you should accept her in the Lord as what? Becometh. The word doesn't give justice. It should be as worthy, or what is appropriate for saints. So how should you look at Phoebe? Not as a woman, but as a radiant light of God. How should you look at every saint? As a radiant servant of God, a light of God, right? See, if we look at everybody and being no respecter of persons, does everyone have the light turned on yet? No. But when you see someone with the light turned on, male or female, has no bearing upon anything. If the light has come on, if God has birthed life in you and light in you, guess what? There's nothing we should judge in that person. Is there? If God's accepted them, then what right have we got to reject them? This question. And that you do what? Assist, literally the word assist means to stand beside her or to aid her. Stand with her and aid her in whatsoever business she has need of you. So whatever you need, she needs, you're supposed to be there to help her. Now, if it was true that women are not supposed to be in the church, not supposed to be an example of Christ, not supposed to preach, not supposed to do all these things except change diapers and take care of a nursery in a church, then why in God's name did Paul set this woman out first in here? Never talked about a man, but he set her out first in this closing chapter. Don't you think it was to put a little honor to her? He's giving this woman honor as a saint. You're not supposed to look at her as a woman. You're supposed to see her as a saint of God. See, forget about everything else. And he says, because she has been a succorer of many. What does that word mean? What does it mean to you, a succorer? Okay, but that's not really what it means. A lot of people think it's someone going out getting people and bringing people in. That's not what it's about. This word succorer means this: a woman that's set over others, caring for their affairs by her resources. What's he telling you? She was appointed by God, but she come to take care of you and not to assist herself in your stuff, but to make sure she gave you from what she had. She's a servant of God. See? Just to give, not taking. This woman didn't come to take for anything. She come to give everything she had to others. Sounds to me like Christ, doesn't it? He said, she has been one of these that's helped others by her resources, and is of myself also. Paul's saying, she come and helped me. She come and aided me in things that I needed by her resources. If this is not honor and respect, I don't know what it would be. And Jesus said this, give honor to whom honor is due, and respect to whom respect is due. Right? Paul's showing this woman had a lot of respect and honor coming. And greet Priscilla. Priscilla and Aquila, of my helpers in Christ Jesus. Who are these two? Anybody know who these two are? Paul deals with them in the book of Acts. Aquila and Priscilla. It's said the other way in the book of Acts. But you know what Paul's saying here? Priscilla and then Aquila. He turned the position around. He mentioned the woman first. If you ain't caught on yet, Paul does not have a problem with women. Just because he isn't married to one right here doesn't make him someone that's a woman basher. Paul is setting this thing back in order. He put the woman first. And that's just a place of honor. It's no disrespect to the man. If the man is offended because of the woman's name being placed first, guess what? He's got a problem. See? If I'm not secure enough in my place that when someone comes and says, oh, this is Lois and Dave, instead of Dave and Lois, then I don't know who I am, I'm telling you. I would be very insecure in who I am in Christ. See? It doesn't make any difference whether they mention my wife first or me first. What difference does it make? We are one. It doesn't make any difference to me. You give honor to my wife, you know who you're doing, what you're doing? You're showing honor to me. Why do I care whether you say my name first or her name first? I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. Okay. Religious people have that problem, not me. But he said, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, Jesus. He says, greet them. This word greet is the same as the word salute down below. It doesn't just mean walk up, shake a hand, say hi, and goodbye. It means to stop, hug them, give them a kiss on the cheek, spend some time and fellowship a little bit. And see, he was in their custom when they did this, on their journeys, it could take and delay their journeys for days. Because, I mean, there was people walking up and down the roads everywhere. Someone you haven't seen, well, hey, well, let's just sit on a rock and talk a while. When you get done, you get up, you greet that, go through that process again, and take off, you walk five steps, and hey, I ain't seen you for a while. And you know, it might take you all day to walk 500 yards. See, if you do that. That's why in one place in the scriptures it said not to salute anyone on the way. Because you've got a mission, go do it. Don't worry about greeting people. Go do what I told you to do. There's a reason for it. But other than that, guess what? We should be taking time for people. One of the greatest things that I think is wrong with ministry, and I'll say this, and I hope everyone in the kingdom message hears it. I mean all over the world, all of them. I'm not excluding anyone when I say that. When I say all, I'm not excluding anyone, right? I hope they hear this, because most of the people that preach kingdom don't live kingdom. Do you hear what I'm saying? You can preach it, but if you don't live it, you ain't got it. Did you hear what I said? I made it plain. I didn't stutter. If you preach it and you don't live it, you ain't got it. Because people are preaching kingdom, preaching reconciliation, but they're not living reconciliation. When you come together, it's not about having some ministry come into your fellowship and preach this great revelation of God and run out the door because I don't know if he's got it or not. I want to see how he walks his life. Does he take time to talk to you as an individual? Does he take time to find out what you're going through? Does he care what's going on in your life? Does he care what's going on in the natural in your life? Does he? Does he take time to assist you, to encourage you in this? Or are they so busy and so concerned with their itinerary that I've got another one to go to tomorrow, I've got to go rest up so I can preach to another one tomorrow? Well, if that's all you do in your life, you ain't done nothing but preach to a wall. Because you've never took time to know people on the road. Hello? You got to stop and meet the people. God's not into an agenda. God is into people. And somebody forgot people on the journey. And the ministry is the worst ones of the bunch. See, there's a prerequisite to being ministry. First of all, you got to be chosen by God, not by grandma or dad or mom or anybody else. You chose ministry because God chose you. Secondly, you've got to have the character of God in you. Thirdly, you've got to have the Word of God indwelling in you. And fourthly, you've got to have fellowship in you. If you don't have all these things to be complete, you know what? You miss something. The rest of it, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, I'm just a clanging cymbal and a tinkling brass. Because I've got a form of godliness, but I'm not being godly. Do you hear me? I'm not being godly if I'm not in the completeness of God. God came down to serve humanity. He didn't come to impress them with His knowledge and His power and authority, did He? He just came to fellowship with us so we could see how much He cared for us. Guess what? I don't see that in ministry. I don't see nobody taking the time to know the people. I'm sorry, I don't see it. And I can't overlook that and say, well, that's just the way they are. Well, that's just the way humanity is. It stinks. It stinks. They've been in the grave too many days. See? It's going into the fourth day. That means it's the late third day. It's time to come out of the grave. And they're staying in the grave. They're stinking. And God don't like it, and I don't like it. And all I can do is say what God puts in my heart. If they don't like it, I don't care. Because my Father told me to say it, and I'll say it. Got a little round up on that one. I can't help it. It's just what? Just the way I am. Yeah. Just like my daddy. Just like my daddy. Verse 4. Who have for my life, and the word life is a problem with it, laid down their own necks. Well, it should say it this way. Who have for my soul laid down their own life. Okay? What the language says it. For my soul they have laid down their own life. To whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Notice he didn't say the Jews give a hoot about it. Did he? He said, all the churches of the Gentiles thank Priscilla and Aquila who've laid down their life for my soul. You know why? They preserved him to bring the truth to them. That's why they're thankful. Because they preserved the man of God to bring the truth to them. And he didn't say anything about the religious folk, did he? He just said all the churches of the Gentiles were really, they're really happy about that. Oh, I could go off on that one. I'm going on. I'm going to step over that rock. Verse 5. Likewise, or also, salute or greet the church that is in their house. Whoop! A house church? Who ever heard of such an abomination? I mean, there's people who don't believe that you can have church gathering in your home. They think that's just a make-believe. You got to have one of them big fancy buildings with great big huge square footage, and you got to have playrooms and basketball courts and all these things, and pointy thing on top, and stained glass windows, and all these things, and padded pews, and what? And crosses hanging everywhere, and pictures of Jesus dying, and all this stuff, and you know, that ain't got nothing to do with it. Church is who you are. But greet the church that's in their dwelling. How's that? What church is in their dwelling? What's dwelling in their dwelling? Christ. See? Salute or greet my beloved, boy, these names, Epaphras, it means praise. Salute my beloved, whose name means praise, who is the first fruits of Achaia. You know what Achaia means? Asia. He is the first fruits from Asia. He's the first one that came out of Asia when Paul went up into Greece and in his journey. That's where it came from. He said he's the first fruit from there. He's something that came out of there first, which is called first fruit, which would be a type of Christ, wouldn't it? Greet Mary. Miriam. Maria. Okay? Not Mary. Maria. Who bestowed much labor to us. See? There were several Marys. I think there were 7 or 8 different Marys in the Bible, and I didn't check to see which one this was because I don't think that's the critical part of it. It wasn't talking about Jesus' mother. It was talking about someone else. I know that. Verse 7. Salute Andronicus. What does that mean? What? Man of victory. Man of victory. And Juna. That's youthfulness. Youthful. So salute these two men. The man of victory and youthful. They're the youthful man of victory. How's that? My kinsmen and fellow prisoners who are of note among the who. That means they somebody. They might have a badge that says deacon or elder on it. See? But he's not doing this as a slam dunk. He's saying this in honor. He's honoring these people in this chapter. He's saying they have some note among the apostles who were also in Christ before me. Paul is honoring these men as being senior in the gospel to him, even though he has a position that's higher than theirs. They knew the truth. They were fellow laborers with him. He didn't see them as superior, inferior. He saw them as equals in the gospel. Even though they had been there longer, his position that God had placed him in was a much more superior or a place much more of responsibility than theirs. But he still said, they're my fellow laborers in the gospel. Do you understand what I'm saying? The thing that we see in the gospel today in the ministries is people all trying to scratch for the top seat. Now, some of them say, well, I'm not really interested in this top seat. What they're really interested in is in the bottom line. How much money comes in. See? Now, you can either be scratching for one or the other, but if you're not living in those 4 things I mentioned a while ago, by Father choosing you first, being chosen by Him before the foundation of the world, by being full of the Spirit of God, being full of compassion, and I can't remember how I said those things, but being full of the Word of God and the fellowship of God, if you don't have all these things in you, guess what? You're missing the point. You're wasting your time. And see, you're either looking for those things which are the nature of Christ to come to serve humanity, to be the servant, not to be served, And I don't know, God, I hate to say these words, but it's the truth. I don't know anybody that's trying to be a servant of God. I'm talking ministry. They all say, well, this is my opinion of what a servant is. Well, my opinion of a servant is he's not running the show. God is. And they all got different ideas that contradict. That can't be all from God. I'm sorry. God has not got a lot of views about things. He is one. Okay? And our apostolic brothers have that part of it right. It is oneness. There is one God, one Lord, one baptism. Okay? And there's only one mind that I can work in. And one mind doesn't have 10 opinions, 10,000 opinions of one specific subject. And that's what the church is talking in. Everyone's talking in their own view, not in the view that God has. And they're too prideful to back up and say, wait a minute, if mine doesn't reconcile with that person, why? If reconciliation is in your heart and that's the purpose of God, to reconcile man back to God, then I have to find out a way to figure out why we're not reconciling. And if it's not in my power to reconcile, I can't do anything about it. All I can do is reconcile my heart back to people, true or false. See, I can't reconcile your heart. Who's got to do that? You do. You and God got to reconcile things. I can tell you about it, but you got to do it. See, it's not about just me. It's about everybody else. But all these people in the ministry don't want to reconcile. They want top billing. They want the importance. They want the notoriety. They want the finances. I'm sorry, it's not about a lot of finances. I believe with very little finances and the Spirit of God, I can go a whole lot farther than all their money. They might get more people show up their meetings, but I believe I can give them more truth. I believe I can give them more life than someone stroking somebody in the soulish realm. Yeah. The widow in Samuel that made the cake for the prophet, and she never ran out again. Okay. All I have to do is obey what Father asked me to do by the Spirit, and He'll take care of me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything will be added. So why do I have to worry about it? I got a job to do, and if I do the job, I don't have to worry about what people say I should do. If I hear my Father, right? My sheep hear my voice. If I hear and a voice of another, they will follow. If I know what my Father's voice sounds like, and I only know His voice by intimacy with Him, guess what? The other voices don't mean a whole lot to me. It's just like background noise, you know? Like a motor running or something, somebody cutting grass in the distance. It's just na 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 nagging things that sometimes bother you and you just want to turn them off. But they're always going to be there. See? The accuser's always going to be there. Even Jesus, when He got through with His temptation in the wilderness, it said as soon as the temptation was over, angels came and ministered to Him, right? But then it made another statement. And the devil departed Him for a... That tells me He came back. He only left for a season, for a short period of time. See, so guess what you're going to be tormented with? Na 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 na. Them little things go na 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 na. It's just picking at you the rest of your life. But when are you going to grow up to be superior enough to that uneducated, immature way of thinking that I have to attack back to everything that attacks me? See? I don't have to attack it back. It's going to wear out and get tired here for long. Just let them go. Leave them alone, I think was the word this morning, wasn't it? Leave them alone. They'll wear out. They haven't got enough strength to sustain anything anyway. Okay. I'm going in. Where did I leave off? Eight. Greet and Amplipus, my beloved in the Lord. You know what the word Amplipus means? Large or enlarged, just like we get our word amplified, like the Amplified Bible. It's enlarged. It's more words, you know. It's enlarged. He's beloved as my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, which is courteous and polite, our helper in Christ. And Statius, my beloved. Statius means a head of grain. How about a head full of Word? Okay? He got a head full of the Word. Salute Apelles means called, approved in Christ. Salute them which are from Aristobulus. Aristobulus. Household. The word household isn't there. What does that word Aristobulus mean? The best counselor. Who's from where? The best counselor. Wasn't Jesus' name in Isaiah chapter 9? Wasn't he called counselor? Huh? So guess where this guy came from? Let me think. Okay. Christ. Salute Herodian. It means hero, heroic. One of Juno, son of Juno. Idolatry goes along with this word too. See? Juno was a god that they worshipped. Greet them that are of the household of Narcissus. What does Narcissus mean? Stupidity. Greet them that are of the household of stupidity. Yep. Whoop, whoop, leave them alone. Hey, come on. He says, greet them all. What do you think this is all talking about? Accept them all. God rejected no one. Did he? He said, I died for A-L-L. Then who did he reject? He's telling us to accept them all. He's telling us all kinds of personalities in these names. What difference does it make? Whether they're intelligent, whether they're unintelligent, whether they're immature, whether they're mature. What is God saying? God is love and he loves them all. Oh gosh. Help us, Lord, to understand this. Salute Tryphenia. Tryphenia is delicate. I could go a long ways with that one, and I'm not going to. And Tryphosa. There's a mouthful. It means thrice shining. How about somebody growing to the third realm? Shining from the third realm, the third mountain, the third covenant. Okay? Who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis. You know what Persis means? Salute the beloved Persis. It means one that cuts and divides. Love who? The one that cuts and divides? Which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, the red man. Adam, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Syncretus. What does it mean? Incomparable. Salute the ones that's incomparable. Now, you could take that as a positive or a negative, couldn't you? There's some you couldn't compare to anybody else, no matter what. Could be a plus or a minus. Phlegon means mercury, okay? Or excuse me, means burning or change. Change, the word phlegon means burning or change, because burning does what? It changes things. It changes. If you look at the word burning in the dictionary, it says always that burning is always in an upward motion, a change always in the upward motion. Okay? It changes the chemical properties thereof to burn something. Find out where I was at. I missed it. Okay. Hermas. Hermas means mercury, which was a Greek god. Patrobus means father's life. Salute Patrobus, who has the father's life. How's that? Hermes. He's a messenger of the gods. And the brethren which are with them. Salute Philegus. You know what his name is? Philologus, I mean, Philologos. Logos, what's that say? So this man's name, Philo, love, lover of the word. It's someone who's talkative and loves the word of God. Fond of the words. It could be on you argumentative too. You know, could be just words one way or the other. And Julia. Julia means soft-haired. How about someone who's gentle? Nereus means newly tilled land. Does anybody know anything about the nature of newly tilled land? Well, a newly tilled land, usually when you first go through and till the land, it's got a bunch of clods and lumps. Anybody been farming? When you first plow the ground, there's a whole lot of lumps and chunks and rocks to be removed from the land. It's got some things exposed, hasn't it? And that's what this is. Someone, we have to realize there's people like that. It's newly tilled land, and see, the church world has no mercy or compassion for people who have been newly tilled. They expect someone who's newly tilled to have the perfect, fertile garden of God. And you know what? That ain't going to happen overnight, is it? That land has to be tilled and disked and retilled and disked to work all those things to the surface, because every year when you plow a garden, there's more rocks worked to the surface. More imperfections in our life. Is that true? And it's got to be removed. If you don't remove them, next thing you know, you're going to have a rock garden. Because everything will come to the surface and just lay there if you don't remove it. And Olympus. Heavenly. Olympus means heavenly. And all the saints which are with them, salute one another in a holy kiss. Was that a suggestion? See, if you run around today in church and you walk up to someone and kiss someone, they think you're a homosexual. Because of the homophobia that's rampant in this world, because of the fear of it. I'm talking for myself only. I'm not afraid of anybody. I'm not afraid of homosexuals, lesbians. I'm not afraid of someone who has diseases. I'm not afraid of hugging someone and having compassion on someone. And I have no problem with giving a man a kiss on the cheek to show my love and compassion for that man. And see, people who can't handle that have a homophobic thing, and it's because of our culture. You go to other cultures all over the world, you see it on TV all the time, don't you? What are they doing? They greet each other with a kiss on the cheek. We're not talking about giving a tongue kiss, you know, we're not talking about getting that kind of wild stuff. I'm talking about giving someone a kiss on the neck or on the cheek. That's all I'm saying. It's just a way of showing affection. And because of our homophobic culture in this world, in this country, we're all uptight about that, see? And it's wrong. It's very wrong. He said, the churches of Christ salute you. Verse 17, he says, now I beseech you, or I beg you, brethren, to mark. This word mark means to observe or to keep your eye on. What should you do here? He's talking to you. I beg you, brethren, keep your eye on the ones that do what? Cause divisions or dissensions. Keep your eye on them. There's a verse in Proverbs I want to read to you. Proverbs chapter 6. Now, I know a lot of people are going to take this in a negative way, and they ought to just leave it alone until I get through. And I mean, people on the tape might think the same thing. Proverbs chapter 6. One more chapter. Verse 16. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Now he's going to list these six things, and the seventh, which is an abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, that's murder, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, that's deception, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and here's number seven, he that sows discord among the brethren. There's the abomination to God. He who's separating brethren. You know how many people, you know how many preachers are doing that? 90-some% of the preachers are doing the same thing. They're saying if they don't believe our doctrine, don't you dare run around with them people. They'll deceive you and drag you into their lair. They're that beastly nature, you know, they're that dragon, they're all these vile things. Isn't that sowing discord among the brethren? I think it is. He said, mark them which cause dissension and offenses contrary to the doctrine. Now, he didn't say, mark them which cause offenses. He said that cause offenses contrary to the doctrines. What doctrines is he talking about? The doctrine of God, the doctrine of the Word of God. See? If they cause division contrary to the Word, we got a problem. Divisions which are, and offenses which are outside the Word of God, what should we worry about? See? If they're just fleshly things, offenses must come, right? Don't worry about them. He didn't say never offend anybody, did it? The people that's causing offenses contrary to the doctrine of God, he says, look here, which you have learned. First of all, you can't tell which doctrines of God and which is a doctrine of men unless you learn them, right? So when you learn the doctrine of God, the Word of God, remember like I said earlier, Matthew 24:24, if it were possible, even the very elect should be deceived. And God's answer to me was, know my word, and you can't be deceived. So if I know these things, if I have learned these doctrines, guess what? I can make a call which is godly and which one's separating and bringing separation between the brethren. I can tell you which ones they are. But you've got to do the same for yourself. And then he said, do what? Avoid them, or literally shun them or separate from them. See, if someone doesn't want to come into God's plan is not a plan of separation. See, and everybody will say, well, God sifted all through the Scriptures. Yes, he did. But what was the purpose? He was sifting to find the proper seed to bring forth the unity and the oneness of all. See, just because they saw part of the progression that God was working in, they think that's the picture. Back up a little bit. Get a little higher into the realm of the Spirit, and you'll get a broader picture. God's purpose was for Christ to come to this world to do one thing, to reconcile man back to God. There's tabernacles. There's your third day. Come to maturity. Come to reconciliation. Come to the understanding that God didn't come to kill 90% of His creation. God come to reconcile all creation back to Himself. And He chose His Son, Jesus, to be the first of many sons to do that very thing. And the first one accomplished his task. And the rest of us have to come to maturity, the sons, the true sons, so we can go back and do the other 90%. He only come to get the tithe. He only come to get the first fruit. And now we have to do the rest of it. When are we going to start doing it? When are we going to quit worrying about ourselves? See, there's some things we've got to think about. Verse 18. Because they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now, brother, you're judging somebody. No, I'm not judging nobody. The Word is judging all, isn't it? The Word judges everything. And he said, if you're bringing divisions contrary and offenses contrary to the doctrine of God, you're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're serving your own what? Literally, the word is heart. You're serving your own heart. And your own heart is self, isn't it? You're serving yourself. You're self-centered. They got their own motivations for why they're doing what they're doing. It has nothing to do with what God has to do. And through good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting or the naive. Hello? That's what the churches are filled with this morning. Unsuspecting, naive people are being deceived by all the doctrines of men that's being peddled and pushed and marketed and covered up in all kinds of ways as being the Word of God today. And if you got the right suit and tie on, or the right dress, or the right bonnet, you got the right makeup on, your hair's fixed just right, God might accept you. And don't forget to drop the money in the basket on the way out the door. And you can get a bag of candy on the way out too, I forgot. See? Now, if all these things go right, you'll have a great day according to the doctrines of men. What has that got to do with me living my life spiritually and fulfilling the will of God in my life? Absolutely nothing. See, but that's all they're caught up in. blind leading the blind, and they both end up in the ditch or the big long grave. Oh, I know this would be a happy one to sell today, wouldn't it? Okay. Verse 19. Because your obedience has come abroad to all, period. Men isn't there. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise. He's saying, I'm hearing about your obedience, but the best thing is you better know something. You better get wise about this thing. To that which is good and innocent concerning evil. God. Can you hear that? It's good and evil. I can go out here and do all kinds of good things. I'm going to tell you one of the organizations that do one of the greatest things in the world. This burn center down in Tennessee, is it? Nashville or somewhere? It's a Jewish thing. But there, you know how many people out of the mafia send money in that thing? The drug dealers? I mean, see, they can get the community and donate money into some of these social services, and people say, hey, these are some great people. Is it? Are they? They're putting something out there to help some of these poor people, but they're killing people selling their drugs. I think that's double-minded. I don't know about you. What do you think? Wouldn't it be double-minded? But yet our people are so blind because they got something good and say that good outweighs the badness, so he's a good guy. Is it God? No. Okay. Then I judge it. By the word. If it's not God, I don't want it. I want God. Nothing else. And he said, I want you to be wise. I want you to know that good and evil is both your enemies. They're both your adversary. The only thing that's on your side is God. Remember what Paul said in Romans 8? If God be for you, who cares who's against you? Good and evil makes no difference to me as long as God is accepted us. I think that's all that matters. And the God of peace not shall bruise, but shall crush completely. And the word shall shouldn't even be in there. That's an added language thing that they added in there. The God of peace crush Satan. And the word Satanus means what? The accuser. And the God of peace shall crush the false accuser, the accuser. Now, how is God of peace going to crush the accuser? By the word of God. It's the glory of God. The word of God is the same thing. And it's so heavy, it's going to crush this accuser. Very simple. The word will crush it in your mind. And see, it's the God of peace. When I have the word of God in me, it's going to crush this accuser in me. I don't care what accuses me. I don't care anybody externally accuses me. I don't even care what internally accuses me, because I have the peace of God in me which crushes that. It crushes it because the peace in my life exceeds far anything that can accuse me. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Come on. It's this God of peace that takes over everything. And everything that comes against you makes no difference. Makes no difference. And where does he do it? Under your feet shortly. Thank God for shortly. Your lifestyle is going to change. And when your lifestyle changes, your thinking changes, the mind of Christ takes root in you and grows into the mature tree, guess what? It's going to take a short time. You know why? It's going to seem like it's your whole life. But when you step in the mind of Christ, you have something that is very wonderful. You have a mind and a memory that is very selective. You choose not to focus on the negatives of the past, but to focus on the now. And when you do, you'll forget about all this stuff out of the past. And it just seems like It was some blip out of the past. It may have been years that you went through it, but once you go through it and look back, that wasn't nothing. You've already overcame it. That's all it is. See? Sure. Absolutely. And he said, the grace, and that's that divine influence in her heart, and the reflection in her life, of our Lord Jesus Christ be in the midst of you. Amen. Sealed. Timothy, dear to God, my fellow worker, and Lucius, the light, the illuminative, and Jason, one who will heal, and Sosipater, Father's Savior, my kinsman, salute you. I, Tertius, which means third, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, which means Lord, my host, the Lord, which is my host, of the whole church, salutes you. Erastus, beloved, the chamberlain or the steward of the city, salutes you. And Quartus, which means fourth, where we get our word quarter, one-fourth of a dollar, a brother. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the next word is what? It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, what? The word be shouldn't be there. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of you all. Amen. That's what the language says. See? So he's recognizing something. He's saying something to you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is in every one of you. There's one thing he left out. It hasn't been reflected out yet. And that's because it isn't Father's time to reflect it out yet. That seed is laying in every one of humanity. But it's not time yet for everyone to come forth. Okay? Now to him that is of the power to establish you according to what? Oh, there's a bold man. He was probably a pretty overbearing to most people, wasn't he? He said, this is my gospel. I never seen anybody, any other men walking around in here preaching that, did you? Saying, this is my gospel. Well, I'm going to tell you what, when your mind matches the mind of Christ, you can't say anything else, but it is mine. If I have the same thinking process as my father and as my elder brother Jesus had, he had no problem considering himself equal with God, did he? Well, then why should I? He's just my older brother. I had the same mama and the same papa that he had. I was birthed out of my female side, my soul, by the Spirit of God, just as he was. He came upon me just like he did Mary. Mary was the soul, okay? And the Holy Spirit came upon her, and he came upon me when I was not aware of anything, and he impregnated me when I didn't even want to live. I was sick of this world. And guess what? He birthed something in me. I didn't ask for nothing. I was asking to be taken out. And he said, I am. I'm taking it out. In my way, see, not the way I wanted, but in his way. He answered the prayer, but see, I didn't know how it was going to be answered. I'm glad he did it his way right now. But Paul said, according to my gospel and the preaching, he's able to establish you, the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since what? It says the world began, it should be age of time. He said, since the beginning of time, no one has known these mysteries. Okay. Ephesians 3:5 says, Father will do nothing without first revealing it to his holy apostles and prophets. He said, I'm going to do nothing. It has been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets now for the purpose of them to reveal it to the rest of humanity. Okay? But now is made manifest or apparent through the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the age-abiding God made known to all nations. Hello, nations, imaginations, minds. He said this is to be made known to all nations. All minds will know the truth. That sounds to me like the new covenant. Glory to God. He said that I will no longer need for every man to say, know the Lord, or to teach his brother saying, know the Lord, for every man shall know the Lord from the greatest to the least. Oh, God. Whew. Paul is so full of the gospel. Made known to all nations. And look, what's the purpose of being known? What's the purpose of this being made known to all nations? For the obedience of faith. You can't be faithful till you know what the gospel says. If you try to be faithful before you know what the gospel says, all you're doing is being faithful to doctrines of men. And that's what this day is about to most churches. Sunrise services and all this Easter egg hunts and Easter bunnies. It's all foolishness. Years ago, I wanted to take an Easter stuffed Easter rabbit and hang it on the church sign out front in a hangman noose on Easter Sunday. Well, I know I would have. My wife told me that was a carnal thought, but I wanted to let people know he's dead in my life, you know. And God didn't have me do it, so I knew it was me thinking that. But all this stuff is made for one reason, to be known to the nations so we can be obedient to faith. And I hear people all my life, I've heard people say this, since I've been in going to church or becoming the Son of God I was supposed to be from the beginning, or revealing in me who I really was, finding my identity, however you want to say it. I hear people say this all the time. I'm faithful. When someone says that, I usually look pretty hard. Do you know what the word faithful means? Turn it around. Full of faith. Are you? That's not condemnation. It's to say, look. It's a revealing. Look at yourself. Before I can say I am faithful, I must be full of faith. Okay? So to be able to be faithful, I must be full of faith, and it's not words. What are you walking? Where are you walking? Are you walking in reconciliation with God? Have you reconciled yourself back to God? So you can't reconcile anybody else till you made yourself reconciled back to God. See, when I reconcile God in me, I can reconcile God in you. I can lead you to that same path. See, I can't walk somewhere. I can't take someone or lead someone where I haven't walked, can I? I can't heal somebody if I haven't healed myself. I can't teach somebody something that I haven't learned, can I? See? And there's the problem, see? They're all trying to teach and lead and instruct and heal, and they've never done it themselves. Sorry, they haven't done it. Until they do, it'll never be changed. See, they're trying to tell you, I know what's wrong with you. And they say, well, isn't the same thing wrong? No, 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 I'm a minister. Don't look at me. I'm the man of God, and I'm set here to judge you. I never heard that. I never heard that in that book. Did you, Bob? I'm set here to set myself right with God. And until I get myself lined up with God, I got no place to judge any man. And I already told you that earlier. The only thing I can say by the Son's judgment is when I look at anybody to judge anything is, Father, forgive them. Because they don't understand what they're doing. See? And until I get there, all I'll do is accuse and point a finger. And that's what the church does. Verse 26. Well, we did that, didn't we? Verse 27. To God only, the only wise one, the only one with wisdom, is God. Well, that's a slam dunk to most preachers. Because they ain't getting their wisdom from God. They're getting it out of the seminaries. And it might as well be a cemetery because they've dug it up out of some pit somewhere. And that pit being in some man's mind or woman's mind. To God, the only wise one, glory through Jesus Christ. Now, through Jesus Christ, is that the guy Jesus that walked on the earth 2,000 years ago? Or is it us today? The answer is yes. It's both. It was Him first. He's the head. He's the first one going through. He's the first of many sons. Right? And we're the rest of them coming through. So it's Him and us all together. It's not us by ourselves. Forever or into the ages, amen. That sealed it. Paul said, my writings are done here. I'm finished for this book. Let them Romans hear it. Them Gentile Romans. See, and churches of the Gentile. I hope I didn't get too excited for you today. I can't help it. I can only say what's in my heart and what God stirs in me. And I'm not really apologizing for what I say and just saying if you don't understand it, it's okay. And I got to say what I got to say. Okay? All I can say is, Dave, amen. Amen to everything God wants in your life.